Are you ready for some change? Ah. Actually, that would depend a lot on what it is that I'm referring to. If I were speaking about something bad being changed, that would probably be welcomed by all. If I were referring to something good being changed, not so much. Besides, the assessment of a change as to whether or not it is good or bad is often a matter of personal perspective. Consider, for example, the current changing of the leaves on grand display. To some individuals, that would be a very good thing, that change, as it provides the opportunity to witness yet again one of nature's most spectacular displays. On the other hand, there may be those for whom the change in colored leaves signals not such a great thing, that we are on the threshold of yet another winter. Or consider the changes that will likely take place in a few weeks in connection with the midterm elections. For those who are currently in positions of power, change would be viewed as a negative thing, whereas those who are aspiring to an elected office, for them change would be very positive. Simply stated, we might say that the assessment of whether change is good or bad basically rests on the nature of the thing being changed. If something bad changes, the change is good. If something good changes, the change is bad. And that's why it's so reassuring to learn from Scripture that our very good God does not ever change. As we continue our look at positive negatives, things which God is not and which God does not do, we consider this morning the fact that God does not change. He speaks through the prophet Malachi, saying simply, "I am the Lord. I change not." That is a declaration with profound implications, and a declaration which functions in two very different ways. For the world and our own sinful flesh, it is a statement which warns. Whereas for a humble Christian spirit, that is a statement which warms. The world, as well as our own sinful nature, has a hard time with the concept that God does not change. The world flatters itself with the notion that it can change the determination of what is right and what is wrong. It believes it can establish what is acceptable or unacceptable as situations change. And it bristles at the statement that God, the Almighty, does not change his perspective along with society. This sentiment, or this leads to sentiments such as the following. The scriptures were written thousands of years ago. They simply don't apply to today. Or the principles laid down in the Bible so long ago are old-fashioned and simply don't work anymore in this liberated age in which we live. The people who advance such thoughts are haughty spirits who, according to the hymn, always set forth something new, devised to change the doctrine true. To those who say that the Bible is no longer valid, or that the Lord, or are critical of the fact that the Lord doesn't change, or imagine that he does, for them, the warning in Malachi comes thundering down, "I am the Lord, I change not." The Lord who condemned the breaking of his laws way back when those laws were established is the Lord who continues to condemn the breaking of them still today. "I will come near to you for judgment," he says. "I change not." For those, however, who have been led by the Spirit to love the Lord and see in him our salvation, these words truly are comforting and warming. Listen to the words which come immediately after that text. "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." God is just as unchanging when it comes to the promises of the gospel as he is with respect to the thunderings of the law. He will forgive our sins today as fully as he forgave the sins of Noah and David and Peter and so many others before us. If we were the ones doing the forgiving, we would likely change. We would get fed up. We would get annoyed and tired, saying enough. But not the Lord. He is the one who remains the same in his faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. He is just as full of compassion today as he was when he approached Adam and Eve after they fell into sin. The blood of Christ pleads for us as loudly today as it did when it was first shed on the cross. And the changelessness, which is true of God's forgiveness, is true for many other aspects of our lives as well. The compassion that Jesus felt when he saw his disciples being whipped around by the vicious storm on the sea is the same compassion that he feels for us when the storms of earthly life assault today. The responsiveness which he displayed when concerned parents approached him with their pleas for help is the same responsiveness which he displays when we approach him with our familial concerns. The providential hand which fed the thousands on the hillsides is eager to continue providing still today. The divine ears that were open to the pleas and the prayers of the apostles and the prophets are just as eager and ready to hear the prayers of God's people now. The Lord invites us to put ourselves in the position of all those biblical figures with whom he came into contact, and to expect the same grace, same mercy, the same compassion, because he remains the same. The book of Hebrews declares, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. What if he did? In order to underscore the greatness of God's changelessness, think for a moment what it would mean if he would be subject to change, even just a little bit. If it were possible for God to change, all the confidence which he provides to Christians would be shattered. What if his mercies were new every morning, except for today? What if he didn't remove sins at all times, quite as far away as the east is from the west? What if we would call on him in the day of trouble and he would usually deliver us? Terrible. How wonderful, by contrast, then, to know that he will never at any time or in any way change. He lives, all glory to his name. He lives, my Jesus, still the same. It warms the heart to know that in Scripture there is no room for a question mark when it comes to the constancy of the Lord's mercy, grace, and blessing. Change. When something is bad, change is good. When something is good, change is bad. Thank God that he, who is the very definition of good, does not change. He, James says, is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Leaves, weather, government officials, powers, health, wealth, even college plans, according to Danny's article in The Flash. Change, it's all around us. But that need not confound us, for the ever-loving, ever-living, ever-helping, and ever-blessing Lord does not change. We sing of his unchanging ways and nature in hymn 742, stanzas 2 and 4. 742 in the supplement, 2 and 4.
Praise him for